Great stuff. It's awesome to worship God. Amen. I so enjoyed the worship and just spending time with the Holy Spirit. And I was sharing on the message that I'm going to introduce just now in Tableview this morning. And in the worship, I thought everything's clear to me. But when I was worshiping here now and when God was speaking to me, I realized, okay, but I wasn't understanding what I was sharing this morning. And I'm probably next week not going to understand again. So fortunately, God, you know, is faithful. And the message is titled, Love One Another. And the purpose of tonight is twofold. And be impressed with the slides, please. It's not me. It's Mr. Neil, the design guru, Hubert. The slides. Guru is not a Christian word, eh? We should say the apostle. Neil, the design apostle. Okay. It says love one another. The lights are getting in the way of the design. But tonight, the purpose is twofold. As I said, firstly, Neil, the apostle, is he's working on a video or inspirational video clip for the encounters for us for next year. And what you're going to see tonight is the storyboard. Okay, so the designers in the house, you'll know what a storyboard is. It's just clips of various aspects. So Neil's going to take these video or these images, and he's going to animate them. So tonight you are part of the process, the design process of the video. But it's really our vision for next year as a church and a region as well. We're going to have a major emphasis on encounters, and God is really worked with us, and most of you will know we've been reshaping and rebranding the encounters. They used to be the old foundations. If you're new with us, the encounters or the foundations is our discipleship course. Okay, now we're really trusting, and I hope you're going to be inspired tonight, but we're really trusting as a church that these encounters will go beyond the walls of the church. That people will start to, you know, recognize the brand encounters, and like, you know, my hope and desire is to have new ages come to our encounters, you know, and get excited about something like that, because that's really where society's at. They like to come to seminars, or not seminars, what's the word? What is the encounters? It's a conference coming together. People really like, they don't like to come to church, but they really like to come to conferences, and that's really what the encounters is. And it's encounter with God. It's encounter with the Holy Spirit. So tonight, these two things. The one thing is, I want us really as a family to put our faith together for next year. That this goes beyond the church. That people will become excited and curious, and they'll begin to hear the stories of how people have been changed and lives have been changed. So we're gonna talk about that. And then the second part of tonight, and this is going to happen in parallel with the storyboard, but something the Lord has just placed on my heart this week. He said to me, put on the bond of love. And when the Lord said that to me, I didn't really understand what he meant. I recognized the phrase bond of love from reading it in scripture somewhere. I think Paul says it. He says it in Colossians. But by the end of the week, I really realized what it means to put on the bond of love. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And the amazing thing, and that's the message. I'm going to give you the punchline of the message right up front. Okay? Please don't get up and walk out and say you've got the message. But the punch of tonight is the amazing way of how God's love works. You and I, we imperfect people. But his love is perfect through us. It's just mind-blowing. You know, and we get this so wrong as Christians, because we know we're supposed to love. We know that's what Christ said. We know that he says that if we obey his commands, then we love him. We know all of these things, but so often we receive that, or we understand that love as being perfect. Okay? Now, God doesn't want us to be perfect. That is not his requirement. So he's not expecting perfect love from you and I, but his love is perfect. It's amazing. And that's the bond of love. It's when you and I make decisions in our hearts. It's just a decision. It's a decision and a positioning to want to. Then something happens. Our attempts, our imperfect attempts to love people gets overshadowed with His perfection, His perfect love. It's really amazing. That's the bond of love. So I'm gonna run through it. This is really what I've seen in people's lives when it comes to encountering God, and it's also the biblical narrative of how God works in our hearts, and God always deals with us in cycles, and He wants us to break through the cycle. Okay, there's a cycle. If you look at the Jews in the desert, they went through a 40-year cycle. Okay, they went through certain things, and God wanted to have them break free from that cycle because it wasn't from Him. So some of us are in various places in this cycle. Maybe you've broken through the cycle, but it doesn't mean that there's not aspects. And Bianca, if you can please go to the next slide. If you see that picture of the heart. Now that picture is the heart of heart of stone. The New King James in Ezekiel talks about the heart of stone, where God wants to give us the heart of flesh. All right, then I'm gonna explain what that means just now. But it says, I will give you a new heart. This is God's promise. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Okay? Now this is very exciting because you see by the title there, the great enemy of love is not anger or hatred, but the great enemy of love is isolation. Did you know that? If you are isolated, then you are unable to love. If you're completely isolated in your heart and in your being, then you don't have a capacity to love. In other words, your heart is captured. Okay, your heart's not free. And of course, that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to have our hearts free. So often people come and they say, but listen, I'm isolated. I don't have friends. I don't connect. Maybe I don't have the interest that some people have in church, or the people are different. So I don't connect with people, but you know what the challenge is, and if we're really honest about that situation, and all of us, you've felt at a stage isolated. I have. But you know what the big issue is it's a heart's issue. It's not so much about the external. Isolation is not the external, not in the church of God. Okay? Isolation is mostly an internal thing. It's a state of our hearts. It's a place in our hearts that God wants to come and He wants to take out. I like what this the ESV says, the stony, stubborn heart, and He wants to replace it with a responsive, tender heart. And it's difficult because if you go to the next slide, Bianca, thanks, you'll see that the enemy is working very purposefully to get our hearts of stone. Okay, and most of us, you'll have the picture of, you know, when you came to Christ, your heart was hardened and God came with His love and He changed your heart. He gave you a heart of flesh. But now the enemy is even still constantly working. That's what the birds of the air, they represent. They're constantly working to get us to a place where our hearts are hardened. Okay, so the enemy will set up situations and circumstances and situations with a leader or a small group leader or a friend in church or whatever the situation is, but He's constantly at work to get us to a place where we harden our hearts. Does it make sense? Okay? And it's up to us to recognize that firstly. To recognize, okay, but now what's happening here, I'm having an issue with my wife here, but it's actually not because of the disagreement here. There's something that's at work. Because God sees the power of that unity. You know, in husband and wife, but also in the church, you know, Bible scripture says synergy. One can kill 1,000, two can kill 10,000. There's a synergy effect when we bring our hearts together. That's unity. When hearts connect. Not when interests come together or, you know, that we feel like we're in a good space. And I actually want to backtrack because I forgot about something. But you know what? What's interesting about love is the world doesn't understand love. The world really doesn't have a clue. The only one that really, really understands love, and also we in the church, we also really don't know. We're sort of figuring out, and we got a glimpse, and we have encounters with love, but we really don't understand it fully. And in the world, love is an emotion. Okay, we in the church, we know it's not an emotion. Because you know what? Christ, when he went to the cross, he didn't feel too excited about it. He wasn't too emotionally stirred up or feel the love for the world. I don't know if you can see that. Okay? In fact, he had to deny his emotions. So if you want to have a picture of love, don't look at what the world says. Don't look at the pictures the world paints. It's simple. Look at Jesus on the cross. That is a picture of love. Okay, and I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit would, and for myself as well, just the Lord saying to me, put on love. I'm really trusting for a shift in understanding what is that love that God means. God's love is unconditional. It's amazing. It's mind-boggling. It's we cannot relate to it. As I said, there's nothing in this world that we can relate to that love that God has for us except the cross, except seeing Jesus. Interesting, I found this quote. Not that I like this quote. In fact, it's a horrible quote. But it just tells you where the world is at in terms of love. The guy says, love one another, but make not a bond of love. You can see why I don't like the quote. He said, let it rather be a moving sea between the shores of your soul. I don't know about you. I don't know what that means. You know? But that's how the world thinks of love. It's this thing, you know, it comes and it goes and it comes and it goes. That's why the world doesn't understand commitment. But God, when he loves us, when he sends the demonstration of his love, gets what he commits the life of his son, covenant love. That's how God thinks of love. It's not an emotion. Sometimes it is an emotion, but the emotion follows the decision. Okay, so there's two things that you need to understand about love tonight. The one is love is not an emotion, it's a decision. Okay, there's another thing, we're going to get to it. But now, Jesus, when he tells the parable of the sower, he gives us such powerful illustration of our hearts. And I really believe that mostly when we read this parable of Jesus about the sower sowing seed, into places, we really miss it because we look at the fact that, you know, the sower comes and he sows the seed, he sows it on the wayside, he sows it on the stony ground, he sows it on between the weed, he sows it between the weed, and then he sows it on the good ground. So, you know, often we're like, okay, but now I want to have my heart being good ground, but we don't realize, but Christ is actually wanting us to teach something because he's saying, but there's something that ground resembles your heart. And there's something. He's not saying that, well, okay, but now my heart is hard and, you know, I know it, but now the seed's not going to take root. No, I believe he's saying those things so that we can recognize what needs to change or what we need to submit unto him. Because you know what? We cannot change our hearts. Only he can change our hearts. So we're gonna look at the process on how God changes our hearts, and we're gonna explain where, you know, for us as shofar, where God where the encounters comes in. All right. So three things that Jesus says. He says that seed. And firstly, what does that seed resemble? They don't say the word of God. Of course, it's the word of God. Jesus says it right there. But what does it mean? That seed that God's sowing. But I really want us to understand this because we can get very religious about this. It's the word of God. But that seed is heart's communication. I almost want to call it packets of love. love communication, that God wants to, He wants to place those seeds in our hearts so that they can grow into what God has intended them for them to grow. So when we worship, you know what? Tonight here when we were worshiping, God was sowing seed. And some of it wasn't falling into hearts. Some of it was falling on the ground. The birds of the air were coming and they were taking it away. Okay? And it's fine because you and I need to recognize that. We need to see that that's happening in my heart because the enemy has set me up. And if we're honest tonight, we'll probably say that most of us or all of us are in that place or somewhere on that scale where, you know, we're getting some of it, but some of it we're losing. All right, but now I believe God wants to tonight come and take that stoniness, that hardness, and He wants to heal it. He wants to give us a heart of flesh. It's not something you and I can do. It's something that we need to surrender to. So the first one is on the wayside. The second one is He sows the seed on stony ground. It says that the seed takes ground, but soon afterward it dies because the root hasn't taken into the ground. Okay. That can't be Romans 8. Okay. It's probably John 8. No, it's probably Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Sorry about that. Sorry, Neil. All right. Next slide. The third place where the seed goes is it goes between the weeds. Okay, and then what do the weeds resemble? It resembles the cares and the worries of this life, the cares of this world. Okay, and what happens is the cares of this world destroys that heart's communication, that seed that God is intended to sow in your heart to produce what He wants. And the opposite of that anxiety, that fear is of course peace. Okay, and God wants to give us peace. In Colossians 3, and this is the scripture that we're wanting to focus on tonight. It says, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Isn't that an amazing picture? It binds us together in perfect harmony. Think of an orchestra. Think of a big band. Different sounds, different skills, and different people coming together, but it makes a harmony. It makes a beautiful sound. Okay? Clothe yourself with this love, and the fruit of that is you'll see this harmony, this beautiful harmony, this perfect harmony. Now, that's what I said earlier. It's so amazing because we're imperfect, but there's this perfect harmony that happens when we begin to clothe ourselves. And this message tonight is of course for us individuals, but more than that, it's for us as a family. It's for us as a family to say, but listen, let's clothe ourselves with this cloth of love. All right? We're going to put on some clothes tonight. All right? Turn to the person next to you and say, it's getting hot in here. And do it with a rap voice. I didn't hear any rap voices. Okay. Let's read that again. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And look at this. This is very exciting. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. In other words, you must do something. You must let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Okay, so in other words, you must have Christ rule in your hearts. In other words, that fear or that worry or that anxiety or the care of this world, you must allow God or Christ, His rule, to take charge of your heart. Okay. Okay, so it's not like we want to, you know, of course now, the fourth place the sower goes and he sows the seed in good ground. Okay. You don't need to give up. If you know, okay, but my heart is not good ground at this stage. You don't need to give up and say, oh, goodness, nothing's going to happen. Allow God to work this process in your heart. Amen. Cool. And then it says, For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Okay, it talks about the body. Us standing here together. You know what? God doesn't see us as individuals. He looks tonight and He sees a family. All right? And then He wants to see that bond of love between us. And then the scripture says, and always be thankful. It talks about looking around us and seeing the good things. Because you know what? The difficult thing about love and the difficult thing about relationship, in fact, it's always so easy to see the negative things. It's always easy to see what is wrong, and especially for some of us, you know, we've got prophetic giftings, and we easily see what is wrong. We easily recognize, oh, okay, there's something that we need to work on. But you know what? That bond of love covers that. And it's up to you and I to say, but now, let's look at ourselves, let's look at each other through the eyes of Christ. Let's see what God sees. And it talks about a thankfulness. You know, it talks about a place where we celebrate one another. We look at each other and we're excited about the gifting and the person that is next to us and that is coming into the church. All right. What is really important, and there's a reason why those hearts are still stony, is sometimes in our walk with God, we for some other reason in Christianity today, there's this culture that we think everything works in 10 steps. Okay, we go from step 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. And, you know, I receive. And then up at a point, I'm perfectly healed. And then I can begin to give. That's the picture that we have. But no, that's not Christ. That is not what God has intended for us. And what I'm getting at is, even if your heart is a heart of stone, completely you recognize it, you must still put on the bond of love. All right? If you've experienced Christ, if you've been born again, you've got something to give. Okay? You've got love to give. And if you don't get into a mode of giving, of putting on the bond of love, guess what? You're going to miss something. Guess what? Your heart is not going to be turned into a heart of flesh, because that's part of the process. Bianca, if you can go to the next slide, please. That's what we're going to talk about now, because there's two extremes of experiences, and especially when it comes to encounter ministry. Encounter ministry talks about encountering the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy, words of knowledge, God coming and intervening in our lives. Now, there's two things that is really important. The first one is what happens to a lot of Christians. And I don't know about you, but I come across a lot of Christians these days that say they're Christians, but they're not in church. And they don't live as I would think a Christian would live. You know, and I'm not talking about now minor things. I'm talking about, you know, being gay. I'm talking about drugs. I'm talking about lots of things. And it's not to be judgmental, but what I'm wanting to get at is, when you talk to these people, the people that I talk to, they know the lingo. They know the Christian experience. They've experienced prophecy. They've experienced healings. They've experienced lots of things. But the sad thing is, they've experienced all these things, but they were unaffected by that. And the key there, and the reason that happens, and we're going to look at another reason. There's actually two reasons, but the reason is, and I'm so thankful that when I came into Christ, I was amazed by the power of God. Because I grew up in a traditional church. I didn't have an encounter with the power of God. But I had those encounters in the context of the bond of love. I was around people that chose to open up their hearts enough so that the bond of love can work. Imperfect people. They made mistakes. I was hurt a lot. But the love that operated in that environment was perfect. And that is the big thing, because a lot of people don't get connected to Christ. And this is now when we're talking about the encounters, and that's really the heart. I'm trusting that we all understand the heart of the encounters. The encounters is, if you think of the encounters as a time where you know, it's a program, and we get together because we want to get people through the process so that they can now be members of the church. Then you're seeing it not in the right light. I really wanting us to trust or to find the heart of what's behind that. And the heart behind, if I can just say it simply, is we want to have people connect not to ourselves. Okay? We want to connect people to Christ. Okay? Unfortunately, there's many movements and many churches that have, and I've seen it happen in our church as well. It happens. Where what happens is a person comes to Christ, a new believer, and someone walks a road with them. And in the process, the person, of course, comes with lots of questions. I mean, all of us have seen someone. We've been those people. You're so excited, but you want to know. You want to know, how does this work? How does praying in tongues work? How do I hear God's voice? You've got all these questions. And the problem is, if you give the answer every time, that person is going to connect to you. Because they're going to connect to you as the one that provides the answer. Okay? But what we want is, we want to get those people to connect to Christ. Okay, so if someone comes to you, say to them, what does God say? What is he said to you? You know, even if they didn't hear or they didn't hear right, they must at least go and hear. And then we can walk a process. All right, so the heart behind the encounters is we want to create an environment, a platform for people to connect to Christ. Amen. Okay. Now, there's a part of discipleship that is, you know, we're doing life together. We're seeing what happens at home, how you treat your wife, how you treat your boss, and all of that. And that is very important. But you know when that is really powerful? Is when a person has had an encounter with Christ. In other words, they've received the word of prophecy, or they've seen God in an amazing way, and you were maybe the vessel through that, you know, that encounter. Maybe you prayed for someone, they saw God, they experienced God. Now, if that person which had an encounter with God, now he sees your life, and that is consistent, that is powerful. It's not necessarily the person doing life with you, because that's not really going to change the person. What's going to change the person is the God encounter. Okay? Does it make sense? Okay, so we want to have people connect to Christ and connect to reality. It's important that they see into our lives, into our hearts, into our homes, so that they can see, okay, but listen, this thing is really real. It's not like this person comes to encounter three and they prophesy over me, and then they go home and they shout at their wife and shout at their kids, and there's no consistency. All right. That's why it's important that we be, you know, that's why it must be real. It must be authentic. And that's what people want. Okay. So the heart's encounter. So someone comes and we're going through this process of the heart's encounter. We're going to go through various slides just to illustrate it. And I want you to, as I said earlier, this is just the storyboard. Neil's going to animate this, but I'm trusting that you see something of the picture of God's heart. All right, so Bianca, you can go to the next slide. Okay, that's the picture of the heart again. So see that crack resembles the love, has already impacted the heart in a way. The next one, okay, what I call awareness encounters, that's when that prophecy happens. That's where that word of knowledge tells the person realize, okay, wow, I become aware of the fact that God is real. He knows me. He knows my life. There's something here. And different people will experience this awareness encounter different. Some people will just by knowing, understand. Some people will have to experience the love of God in a physical way. Some people will have to experience healing. Okay, it's different for different people. Next slide, Bianca. Then the next one, the scripture. And this is the really key. I said there's two things that is important when it comes to the encounter. And the first one is that it happens in the bond of love. And the second one is this principle, 1 Kings 19, it's 11 to 12. It says Elijah, and he's having this this power encounter and a demonstration of God's power of note. It says, "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." Now the purpose of this awareness encounter is for the person to come to that place. Now I want to argue that many charismatic movements and many charismatic encounters or worships or whatever never gets to that point. People experience the presence of God. They experience that God is here and He's real. But if you don't get to that place, the still, small voice, then you're missing it. And I want to argue that many people are running after the encounters because they haven't come to the place of the still, small voice. The power encounter, the awareness encounter is for one purpose, is to point someone to the voice of Christ. Amen. That is the encounter. Next one. Abundance. When we begin to focus, when we begin to zoom in on that still small voice, we begin to recognize what is abundance, what is God has for us. Next slide. So then, through this process, as I said, God does something in our hearts. He takes this heart of stone, and he step by step. He cracks open that stone, and He presents to us, and He comes in our hearts, and He changes our hearts. He heals our hearts. He brings peace and freedom. Okay, for some of us, it's a process. Most of us, it's a process where God comes and He does this. And I want you to see something very exciting, a promise of God, and God's heart in this. Isaiah 11 verse 4. It says, "I led them with cords of human kindness." This is God speaking. Isn't that interesting? It says, "I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek and bent down to feed them." That is God's heart. That is what He wants to do. That's His heart towards all of us. He wants to take us and He wants to tie His cords of His love to affect our hearts in such a way. And then He wants to, the picture is amazing. It's like a little child. I can very much relate to this because I've got a little baby. You know, bring it to your cheek. And then He says, but He's going to nurture that little kid. He's going to nurture that person. And that is the heart of God, is to bring us to that place. And many people, and I want us to begin to look at the people around us in that context. That boss, that colleague that is hardened, that is, you know, you think it's impossible for them to know Christ. I want us to begin to see it in that context. Because God, when He looks at people, He sees their hearts. He sees that heart of flesh. And it's a challenge, but that's what God wants to do in our hearts. Then the next one, what I call restoration encounter. So now God has done something in our hearts in a place. And I want to just make it clear again. It's so important that I say this. We want to say, but now when my heart is in that place of peace, of, you know, responsiveness, of healing, of all of those things, then I'm going to begin to give. And that's the wrong way to think about it. Because God's love doesn't operate like that. Okay? There needs to be a constant giving, receiving. All right? You can only receive if you've given completely. Look at this. Mother Teresa says, "The hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread." Isn't that a powerful statement? The hunger for love is so much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread. C.S. Lewis says, "Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you are loved, someone will presently come to love him. In other words, don't wait till you feel the emotion. It's not an emotion, it's a decision. So just start loving the person next to you. Just start loving the person in your small group around you, and the emotion will follow. Okay, you'll find eventually that you do love. Don't do the introspective thing. Don't think, okay, but I'm so bad. I don't love, you know, I don't love that person, and that person is like that and that. Just begin to make the first attempt and love the person. And I said earlier, there's two things that we need to get from tonight. The first one, love is a decision. The second thing is love sometimes hurts. Okay? The world and the culture that we're in says only do something if it's going to benefit you, if it's going to be beneficial. God says that His love, sending His Son to the cross, hurts. Okay? And sometimes it's going to be difficult because we're going to have to deny ourselves. That's what Jesus says. He says, in fact, that if you are not willing to take up your cross, deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple. And that brings us to the next and the final point of tonight. That is the exciting thing, is when we begin to deny ourselves, love the people around us, love and take on, put up the bond of love, clothe ourselves with this bond, then what it says is God will become known amongst us. Scripture says, John 13, this is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples. When they see the love that you have for each other. That is the place that God has for us. That's what He wants for us as a family, is to have that perfect love, that bond amongst ourselves. And once again, I want to emphasize this and overemphasize this. It's not perfection, not our perfection, but His perfection. His perfect love in and through us. All right. So that is what God wants us. And then just the final slide. I just want to leave it there. But that is what the Encounters is about. It's God's love perfected through imperfect people. All right. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm excited to see people, hardened people, the hardest of the hardest people, come in and really be affected. I've got no reservations in my faith in terms of the fact that God wants to. He wants to bring people. And if we can partner with God, if we can take hands in trusting for people to participate, to position themselves in these encounters, then we're gonna see that. We're gonna see God. And most of us, we've seen this. We've seen this in lives. As you've facilitated at Encounters, it's amazing. You always leave and you say, you know, you think, wow, that was real eternity that happened there, because someone had a God encounter. And it's important, and I want to end over this, is that it happens in the context of the bond of love. Okay, that we help people to understand you need to put on the bond of love, and this is the environment where we choose to love one another. Can we stand this evening? Band, if you guys can come up as well. And there's two groups tonight. We're going to worship together. Just spend some time in God's presence and allow Him to send that heart's communication into our hearts. But there's two groups. And the first group is, the Bible says that freely you've received, now freely give. In other words, you can only give what you have received. So some of us must get the discipline of receiving, of coming before God, coming in worship, and for some of us it's a challenge because your whole life you've used to. And that's what the word was in, that I shared earlier. You're used to building up walls. You're used to protecting yourself. But you know what? When you come to God, You need to trust Him. You need to allow God to come and take those walls down so that He can penetrate your heart. So that He can give you that love, so that you've got something to give. God never wants you to give something that you don't have. How can you give it? And often we find ourselves, and I find myself as a Christian, that I'm in a place where I have to give, but I've got nothing. Because maybe I'm not connected to Christ. And maybe in the process of a couple of weeks, what has happened is the enemy has set me up to have a cold heart. And maybe it's not like that heart that we saw on the screen. Maybe it wasn't. It's not as it was when you came to Christ for the first time. But still, it's a place where you're not receiving that perfect love that He has for us. So the first group tonight, I'm going to ask you to come to the front and to say, God, I'm opening myself up to that perfect love. And I don't know, I don't understand it. I don't have any frame of reference to this love. The fact that it's unconditional, I don't understand it. But I'm gonna forget about that. I'm gonna open up my heart, because that's what trust means. And I want to say that Jesus, God is deserves our trust because of His love. Because of the act of Jesus going to the cross. So I want us, if that's you tonight, I want us as we're going to worship now, I want you to come forward to bring your belongings and to worship here in front. And to say, Lord, I want you to fill me. We're going to get to the second group now, but I want us to just come before God. And let's just close our eyes. Band, you can begin to minister to us. Father, we come tonight, Lord, and as you sang earlier, Lord, there's things that we hold on to, but we choose to surrender those things, Lord. We choose to instead, Lord, receive your love. We make that decision tonight, Lord. We're not going to wait for emotions, Lord. We're not going to even wait for your presence, Lord, or that power encounter, but we're going to choose to look Godward, to embrace your goodness. So if that's you, I want you just to quickly come out. Stand here in the front. Just where you stand, and just begin to worship God. I want to pray for you. You've just been struggling with, you're wanting to be obedient to God, you're wanting to do the right thing, but you found yourself in a place of a cycle of trying to be perfect, and you'll know that because what follows that cycle of being trying to be perfect is guilt and condemnation. And always not feeling good enough, not feeling at a place where you can give to God or can please God. So I want to pray for us, and while everyone's just worshiping and focusing on God, with your eye closed, if you're in that place, as I mentioned, of trying to be perfect, you've maybe gone through the cycle, then I want you just to raise your hands where you stand. I'm going to trust that God would break that cycle over you, break that lie, and give you instead His perfect love. Father, thank you for every hand raised now. Thank you, Lord, that there's no more condemnation for those that are in Christ. But Father, we break, Lord, that bond of and that burden of perfection, of trying to be perfect, of trying to do it, trying to please you, God. And we remove it, Lord. We break it now. And Father, I pray for every person that is in a place of isolation, or they're feeling lonely, Lord. And I pray for those hearts to to be connected to you, Father, that, Lord, those hearts will be surrendered into your hands, Lord, so that you can continue and finish that process of softening those hearts, Lord. And Father, I just speak healing now to every one of those hearts. We speak healing, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would bring, Lord, your sons and your daughters that are isolated, Lord, maybe captive to things of this world, Lord. You bring them into that bond of love. In the name of Jesus. Thank you that you mend hearts here tonight, Lord. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work in every heart. We choose to partner with you. We choose to work together with you. I'm going to ask us just to end off tonight by actually just being practical in what I've shared tonight, in that we're going to put on the bond of love. And I want us to just in groups of three or four, just pray together. And just ask God that He would come and do that miracle of the bond of love. That we would bring our contributions to Him, those imperfect contributions, but that His love, His perfect love, will be amongst us. And that we pray for that love to be in this church, to be in our hearts. So let's just quickly find groups of two or three or four and pray for each other. Bless each other.